This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome on into the second hour of First Take. We are in the Caesar Superdome getting ready for Thursday night football between the Saints and the Denver Broncos. Sean Payton's return to the Dome. And Cullen mentioned to us, Jeff, that we were wondering the last primetime game that we were in the Caesar Superdome. And
I remember
it was
now.
Last year against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, and that game. Hopefully, this game doesn't go like that game.
Oh no.
Maybe Foster Moreau, redemption game. How about that? That's the arc I'm going to go with.
Definitely. What'll be interesting too tonight, we saw the Denver Broncos elevating two familiar names from their practice squad to the active roster.
Yeah, well, Quan Alexander and
yes.
Calvin Throckmorton.
I don't even know
if they need those guys. I think he just elevated them
just because he can.
They're not going to be on the active roster. They're going to be the two inactive players. Good for those guys. Keep them busy.
Looking at this game, the Denver Broncos coming into town with a 3-point advantage, according to odds makers. And you pointed out, obviously, the Saints dealing with a slew of injuries from the offensive line, wide receivers, their starting quarterback. Doesn't make the most folks hopeful in this game going into the matchup against the Broncos. The good thing is, at least the Broncos aren't this offensive juggernaut that's been putting up points this year. They also have a rookie quarterback who has struggled at times, but obviously he's been learning along the way.
Yeah, no, Bo Nix is Bo Nix. You know, it's funny because I've watched him play for, three different colleges. I remember watching him at Auburn, and I was like, that doesn't look like an NFL quarterback. And then I remember watching him at Oregon, and I was like, well, now he looks like an NFL quarterback, but I'm still not convinced. Now I've been watching him in Denver, and I'm like, he is an NFL quarterback, but I'm not convinced. So we'll see. You know, I think the way they use Bo on the move, kind of the same way the Saints are going to try to get Spencer Rattler on the move. You know, when you have a young quarterback, you try to get him comfortable, and I think that's how they're going to do it. I think they're going to try to give him the ball on the run, let him use his feet. And the Saints haven't handled quarterback runs particularly well. You know, and I go back to last year.
Right.
It hasn't really been a huge issue this year. You've seen the Saints struggle to get quarterbacks to the ground, but it hasn't been QB runs, you know? So we'll see how they handle that. The nice thing is you look at the Saints team, and they are not banged up on the defensive line, right? They are not banged up in the secondary. I mean, obviously you don't have Will Harris, but you have your top four corners. They're all active. You have Tyrann Mathieu. He's back after dealing with that kind of weird forearm injury last week. We'll see how they handle the safety position with Jonathan Abram and Jordan Howden. Kool-Aid is there. So you should feel confident in your defense, right? Like, we talk about all these injuries and how it's going to impact this game. It should not be the reason you struggle on defense. You should be able to lean on that group, and that's why it's been – you know, very, very frustrating to watch this defense not be the strength of your team. Because there's no excuse for it not to be. And obviously you don't have Pete Warner, but it's the NFL. You're not going to have all 11 starters every week, right? So we'll see how that goes. But, no, I need them to kind of come out and wake up a little bit and be like, no, this is kind of this fever dream of we forgot how to play football is over, and we're gonna show the Broncos, we're going to show Sean Payton that we know his offense. We know what to do against his offense. They've been practicing against it. These guys haven't been practicing against it, but the Saints defense in general, you know, the royal we have been practicing against it for 17 years. So they know what this offense likes to do. And they need to take advantage of that. DeMario Davis spent years working against this Sean Payton scheme in practice. Okay, take advantage of that. Obviously, it's different players. It's going to run a little differently with Bo Nix. But, that should be an advantage for the Saints. It's just a matter of whether they can actually make that a reality.
Looking at things with this Saints defense going up against now a quarterback that's a little bit mobile in a Bo Nix we've mentioned. DeMario Davis, though, talked about this week, how easy is it for this team to clean up tackling? One, it's a short week, obviously, and just to even get to that in in-season mode at practice, DeMario was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
I think you got to find a way to be consistent, doing all things well, not just tackling. You know, I think defensively it'll always come down to how well can you stop the run, how well can you get off the field on third down, and how can you be clean in the red zone and take the ball away. And I think we're doing a good job of taking the ball away, but we're not being as consistent in stopping the run, situational football. And so we got to find a way to do it. We've done it well at certain times. We've stopped the run extremely well, and when we do that, we have a ton of success. We've got off the field on third down. We've had very good red zone percentages at times. I think it's just finding a way to be that consistent team all the time. I think that's where our process has to be around, the high level of focus.
Consistency definitely hasn't been there. I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah, and if last week didn't exist, I would look at this Broncos roster and be like, okay, no one scares me. But, you know, who's their Sean Tucker, right? Who's their player that I have no idea? Like, he could have been starring in Rush Hour a year ago, and now it's, oh, no, that's a different guy. This isn't Friday. This is Sunday. But, man, Javonte Williams, 59 carries, 213 yards. He's averaging 3.6 yards per carry. His long run is 17. He has two fumbles, lost them both. Can you guess who the second leading rusher on the Broncos is?
Bo Nix.
It's Bo Nix.
Yes, I did look at that.
He's 180 yards on 37 carries, 4.9 average. His long is 23. Jaleel McLaughlin, 36 carries, 116 yards, 3.2 yard average. So, I mean, there's no one there that you should not be able to stop. But I would have said that against the Chiefs. I would have said that against the Bucks. They're without their top rusher. Now, the Broncos have their top rusher. He's just not particularly good.
Right.
Okay? So, can you take advantage of that, right? I'm tired of pointing to things that's like, oh, the Saints should have an advantage here. The Saints should have an advantage here. And then it does not end up being an advantage. Like, you got to actually take advantage of the things that should be on your side. And so, you know, if you can stop the run, if you can force Bo Nix to have to beat you from the pocket, I don't believe that he can do that. I genuinely don't. If you're sitting there in third and two, third and three, 10-play drives where you're just hoping to hold up in the red zone, which the Saints have been pretty good. They kind of came back down to earth last week against the Bucs, but they were the number one red zone defense going into that game. I'd have to double-check to see where they are now. But, you know, you got to get off the field. Force punts, man. Get off – like three and outs are not a thing that this Saints team – do we ever say the term three and out when we watch a Saints game? It feels like it's, like, at best, eight and out. And you get third and two, and they're running for it on fourth down. And, you know, take advantage of the situations that are on your side, right? Instead of second and seven because you missed a tackle in the backfield, make that a second and 13 so that you can get off the field. And, you know, if you can be better at that, if you can force more punts, if you can keep your defense from losing the time of possession by 20 minutes so they're gassed at the end of the game, I think you win. If you can't do that, then I think the Broncos win. I do think it is that simple.
Getting into a little bit of the Denver Broncos defense, Spencer Rattler this week talked about having to face that unit.
Really good front. They're going to show us a lot of coverages and blitzes on third down specifically. So we have to have a good plan and just be dialed in into the little details. It all comes down to the little details.
Those details for sure. And Jeff, I know you asked Rattler about the quality of cornerback play now in the NFL and adjusting to that compared to college. Here's what he said.
Everybody's good at this level. You know, the funny thing is, not funny, but same dude that was at Georgia last year picked me off in this game. So I was seeing a lot of talent, obviously, in the SEC, but this is the NFL. You know, these guys are good at every position. So you have to respect that, but also attack them. You know, you can't play scared. So we're not playing scared.
I like that clip from him saying, we're not playing scared.
Yeah, you know, I've come around on Spencer Rattler press conferences. At the beginning,
short
I was like,
point.
I was like, hey, he doesn't say a lot. But then now I'm getting to the point of like, man, he answers the question. It only takes 30 seconds and you move on.
And boom, I got a perfect sound
yeah, bite. Yeah, and you can play it. And we played two clips in the span of a minute. But no, I did appreciate that answer. And so Tyke Smith is the defensive back that picked him off at Georgia last year. Or he was at Georgia when Spencer was at South Carolina, and he did it again in that game. And yeah, I think that is something that, you know, Bo Nix has had to figure it out. Caleb Williams has had to figure it out. All these rookie quarterbacks that I mean, with Jaden Daniels being the exception because apparently he came into the league ready to dominate. I don't know. But, you know, I think that is a kind of a learning experience of, hey, I might have got away with this in college, but the windows are a lot smaller in the NFL. Every DB I face was the best defensive back in their conference.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like, these are the stars in college. You're not taking advantage of them the way that you were taking advantage of them in college. I think that interception to Rashid Shaheed is a good example of that. Like, you know, that's a ball that, yeah, you could say it's underthrown, but, you know, it would have hit Rashid in the hands. it was underthrown because there was a defensive back there, and you needed to lead Rashid away from him to complete it. You know, in college, I don't think that DB's making that play. Zion McCollum made an incredible kind of leaping grab,
right,
where now we'll say, yeah, it was underthrown because it got intercepted. If Zion doesn't make that play, then it hits Rashid in the hands. He's running, maybe scores a touchdown. So that's kind of the difference, and that's why when you turn to a rookie, those are the type of things that you have to kind of accept and say, okay, you made the mistake, don't make it again. Right, but you have to make the mistake for the first time to realize what you don't know what you don't know. So that's why this week, I think, you know, we can react to that first half that Spencer had, and I thought he was really good. But the answer of, hey, what is Spencer as an NFL quarterback? We're going to get that answer over the next several weeks as you identify, okay, this is what you did wrong, fix it. You know, if you keep making the same mistakes over and over again,
exactly,
that's when
right.
you start to say, hey, I don't know if you can hack it. But we don't know what we don't know until he goes out there this week and improves on the things that he didn't do well last week. If we see the same issues week after week after week after week, that's your answer.
There is no Chris Olave today. We know he's yep. going through the concussion protocols still. Hopefully be ready for next week, obviously, against the Chargers. Rashid Shaheed today being put on injured reserve. Reports are it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks, so his season –
4 to 6 months.
4 to 6 months, sorry, yes. Not
it's
weeks.
A big difference.
Yeah, right. He would be able to come back this season then if it was just weeks. But, yeah, definitely obviously disappointing there for this game, too. Your top two targets not around for a guy like Spencer Rattler, but he does have a connection with Bub Means last game that was pretty obvious. And here's what Rattler had to say this week about working with Means.
You know, I've been able to get a lot of reps with Bub since OTAs, you know, obviously coming in, same draft class, both rookies. He's really elevated in practice just with little things like blocking. You see him just flash on film to get a backside block on a backside safety, which is not an easy thing to do. And he's such a smart football IQ guy, like knows his job, knows the details, and is going to give full effort, you know, all the time. So to be able to see that, you know, another fellow rookie is good to see, and I trust Bub.
Love to hear a lot of those words there from Spencer talking about the wide receiver, obviously willing to block, smart, and then, you know, willing to learn and work with him, and just loves the energy there. Seems like a nice connection brewing, and I know you mentioned, I think it was on the podcast, the fact that you're picking him up in fantasy football for sure.
Oh, I did, and I'm starting him because I don't know where else you're going to go. You know, and that's the thing. Like, you have a quarterback who trusts that receiver.
Exactly.
He's going to throw to that receiver.
You know there's a connection.
And one of the things about Bub that I think is unique in the Saints wide receiver room is, you know, he's a rookie, but he's not built like a rookie. Like, you look at him, he's like, that's a guy who's physically prepared to play in the NFL. He's yoked, I think would be the word you would want to use. He's a big dude. And I appreciate his approach to the game, too. Like, I was talking to him about that. The catch I appreciated in that game the most, he only had five, but they were all big catches. And the one I appreciated was third down. Spencer broke the pocket. He's rolling to the right side of the field. Bub kind of identifies that his quarterback is in trouble, breaks off his route, finds space, catches the ball, toe tap, first down, keep a drive alive. That was not the play. That's not how it was designed. The receiver made himself available for the quarterback. The quarterback knew he was going to do that, found him, first down. It's the type of play that you're like, wow, great offense. Not really. The offense didn't work. The quarterback and the receiver and the chemistry, that's what worked. And when you talk about guys like Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce, right, like what do they do better than everybody else? It's that. It's that secondary route. It's that, hey, the play broke down, but I'm going to extend, and I trust you to get open. And I think that type of appreciation for each other is something that you can't really teach. You got to build it.
Yeah, for sure.
And I was asking Bub about that, and I thought his like answer even, like they practice that kind of stuff. It's not random. Like he knows, hey, my quarterback is scrambling to the right. I need to go a certain way so that I can give him an angle to deliver the ball. And, you know, if you can do that a few times throughout a game and you can extend drives that would otherwise be dead because the play didn't work, you know, that's how you can have success off schedule. And I don't think the Saints offense has been particularly good off schedule in the Derek Carr era. I think it's either the offense works or it doesn't. So I think that's what Spencer can do that some of these other quarterbacks probably can't do as well is, you know, create something out of nothing. And when you don't have stars, you're going to have to know how to do that.
Yeah, the main star, obviously, at least he is healthy enough to play. I won't say healthy. Is Alvin Kamara, obviously,
yeah,
your main stud there. But I feel like, man, it's like his third or fourth different injury I've seen from him this season.
Well, I don't think he's got a new injury. I think he's still dealing with the hand that he was dealing with a week before.
I thought something else was listed.
I don't believe so, but I could be wrong. He was dealing with a hip. He was dealing with a rib. He was dealing with a hand. He's playing through it. You know, he did have a couple drops last week. You have to
wonder.
It is
still just the hand now.
Right. They took away everything else, but it's not like those things don't still hurt.
Right.
Right. Like the rib didn't miraculously heal, but you saw a guy with a couple drops last week. You have to wonder if maybe that hand injury played into that. Maybe Spencer needs to stop throwing it quite as hard. Not doing him any favors. But, no, you got to get Alvin involved. Kendre Miller, I want to see him have an impact on this game. We'll see if he's active. I hope he's active.
It's a big X factor,
I would be very frustrated if he wasn't active.
For sure.
But we'll see.
Taking a break, we want to hear from you on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We were talking about Bub Means. We'll hear some of what he had to say leading up to Thursday Night Football against those Denver Broncos right after this when we come back on First Take on WWL. Back here on First Take on WWL as we get ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up at 5 o'clock and then game time in the Caesars Superdome for Thursday Night Football. Saints hosting Denver 7:15. Jeff will be on the sidelines and Deuce and Haas on the call with the game, and I think we're getting spoiled with some of the predictions Deuce has made in games, and then they end up coming true right away. I think you need to take him to the casino or whatever and just have him point at numbers or something.
I don't know. I think it's very football related. I don't know if he would.
All right, well, taking him to the sports book then.
I don't know if he would have the same effect of like a roulette table or, you know, whatever you want to. But, yeah. Like,
what if he starts calling on? He's like, 23 black.
Yeah. Oh, if he could do that, then he would probably not be working for us, put it that way. Yeah, he would be on a yacht somewhere.
Deustradamus.
Deustradamus. But, no, yeah, I'm excited. I think this is going to be a good day. I'm feeling good about it.
Glad you're feeling good. I know a guy that's feeling good, too. We were talking about Bub Means, the wide receiver for the Saints. He's been elevated through the ranks now, obviously, with Chris Olave out, Rashid Shaheed out. Bub Means getting some work last week with Spencer Rattler. And what are his thoughts on the rookie quarterback?
I'm very excited to see what Spencer's going to do in the coming games, coming years. However his career goes, like, he's going to be elite at what he does. And I still have high praise for Spence. I have high praise for all our quarterbacks, but Spence, for sure, like he out there making plays. We've been making plays all rookie minicamp, OTAs, training camp. Like, so I don't expect nothing else but greatness from him.
Obviously, this team right now, too, dealing with the injuries, the losing skid. Sean Payton is in town. What does Bub Means think this the magnitude of this game is?
I feel like every game is a big game. I hate losing. I want to win every game, every snap, every down. I want to win every one-on-one, so like every game, I don't treat no game bigger than the other. We take every opponent as serious as next, you feel what I'm saying? Like, we're going in here to execute and win every time, like any other game.
And yeah, that win is so needed right now because the bleeding is becoming profuse.
yeah, you need a triage unit. But now, yeah, Bub's a funny guy. And if I had to pick a word to describe his personality, it would be effervescent. I would say bubbly, but that would just be a little too on the nose. No, he's a fun guy to root for. He's a fun guy to talk to, and so I hope he has a big game so people can start to kind of learn a little bit more about him as a player. Because I think, you know, you see a guy coming out of Pitt, it's not a pretty prolific offense,
right.
So the numbers aren't going to be astounding. But, you know, he did a little bit of everything in that offense, and he's going to be a guy who can kind of ward off defenders. So even in a tight window, you can throw it to him and trust that he's going to battle for the ball and most often come down with it. You know, and that's the type of stuff we would say about Mike Thomas. Right? And that's how he was able to have an impact as a rookie receiver. Now, this is a different offense than Mike started. It's obviously a different quarterback than Mike was catching passes from. But, you know, the Saints haven't had a receiver like that for a while. And when you don't have the high-end weaponry of the offense like you have in the past, sometimes you just got to run a stick route and throw the ball to the guy and catch it and take a hit, right? Sometimes that's how you got to move the ball. And I think he's going to be able to do that for you.
Talking about these wide receivers, I think we mentioned this too a little in the podcast. Thinking Bub Means, obviously, is your X. But yeah. After that, who's going to be the Y and the Z in this offense right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see if Equanimeous St. Brown factors in.
Yeah.
You know, the last time we saw him in a Saints uniform, he was catching a dime from Spencer Rattler in the preseason finale. So they have a bit of a connection. He's a guy who can work downfield. He's played in a ton of football games. So, you know, we'll see how much of his role that you have. But I would expect Mason Tipton to be that kind of Z. We'll see if maybe Jermaine Jackson can factor in the slot, you know, who runs – who runs out of the slot most often. I'm not sure that's going to be, but I expect you're going to have a lot of heavy personnel. I think this will be another kind of 21, 22 day where you don't get – you typically you're seeing two wide receivers on the field a majority of the time. But, hey, we haven't really talked about it. You got to run the ball too.
Right.
You know, we can talk about, oh, the receivers aren't there. Well, you know, the best case scenario is you are not relying on your receivers because you are running the ball for the first down. And that's what we saw weeks one and two. Why was this team dominating? Because he was running the ball. Because Alvin Kamara was dominating. The offensive line was getting pushed. And it was, you know, you were winning the line of scrimmage. The last 4 weeks, no. And that has not been the case.
And obviously a guy like Taysom Hill not in the mix, so there's that big physical presence that's not there. Good news, though, at least offensively, we talk injuries. A guy that is expected, I'll say, to be back in the lineup is Kendra Miller. We haven't seen him since last season in action on the field. Obviously got hurt early on in training camp that first day with a hamstring issue, just been lingering. This nagging hamstring has continued on. The past two games just wasn't ready to go. You're gotta hope at this point, though, the Saints are in desperate need of any kind of boost, and I think Kendra could provide something for you. I'm not saying you're going to give him a boatload of carries, but I'm hoping at least 5 to 7 touches.
Yeah, to me, I don't think it's a physical issue with Kendra. I think he's healthy. I think he's ready to go.
Offense.
Just a question of whether they trust him and how much they trust him and what they trust him to do, right? Do you trust him in pass protection? Because if you don't, it's not going to be out there in pass protection. I feel like we had this I probably could have gone back and just clipped what I said about him last week, because at that point, I assumed he would be active. Him being inactive last week was a surprise to me, because you'd think, hey, you've got about a week plus to learn the offense. You should be good to go. If you don't trust him this week, then I don't know when you'll trust him. At least to the extent that you I think Jamal Williams got 3 offensive snaps last week.
Right.
So it's not like there's anyone out there that's really contending for that job. That should be your 3rd-round pick from last year, who you saw with some burst, right? Last year, the Saints running backs had 2 plays of 30-plus yards from scrimmage throughout the entire season. Kendra had both of them. One was against the Patriots. One was against the Bears. He got hurt on that play. In Week 18, he went out there against the Falcons, and he just had, he had juice, right? It was something we hadn't really seen throughout the course of the season in the run game. And so maybe that's the case again today, And he's just – you don't have a lot of dynamic players in this offense.
We mentioned that Sean Payton has elevated Calvin Throckmorton and Quan Alexander for this game. One of the callers on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line 3398 says, surprised that Petty Payton didn't elevate A.T. Perry for this game. Good point there. Well played, sir.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's there. He'll probably be on the sideline. I'm
chat with him a little.
I'm not surprised from a football sense that he didn't elevate A.T. Perry because, why? Yeah, yeah. I don't think they signed A.T. Perry for his, I think they kind of signed him as a scouter, hey, tell me about Clint's offense, right? What do you know that I can glean in these 10 days or whatever since we signed you? I didn't expect, if he did elevate him, it would be like, as that kind of victory.
We got receivers and you don't.
Like the human victory cigar.
Yeah, right,
like,
exactly.
Hey, A.T. Perry scores a touchdown in this game, the Saints will feel really bad about it. But, it's tough because you would like to say, hey, the Saints are down all these wide receivers. Wouldn't A.T. Perry be nice to have? But he wasn't healthy either.
Right.
So, the reason they cut him is because he was hurt and missed several games. He got hurt in practice, I think, twice. So it's not like he was available to be played even if you needed him.
Looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Jeff, we have Aaron on the line. Want to talk some black and gold. What you got for us tonight, Aaron?
What's up, man?
I think the Saints, if you look at the roster, we need to go ahead and invest and go ahead and extend Dennis Allen's contract, give Derek Carr $225 million guaranteed 10-year contract, and right now get Colin Kaepernick to come in along with Mike Thomas to get the Saints to go 2-14 so we can get Arch Manning in 2026. What's your thoughts on that?
I was wondering where you're going with that. There's a lot of ideas there.
Yeah, not only does he want to create havoc on the field, but also in the locker room with bringing Mike T back. Obviously, that's one you haven't even seen any team taking a sniff at Mike.
Yeah, it is interesting, and I don't know what the deal is there. Like, you know,
we know.
I do wonder if. Well, so there's a question of like, hey, you know, I'm sure there's teams out there who might put him on the practice squad, but is he willing to take a practice squad spot, right? And so I don't know. Like Hunter Renfrow is another guy who's kind of just sitting out there, isn't on a practice squad anywhere. And is that a choice of the player, or is that a choice of teams not being willing to give him that opportunity? I would guess it's more about, hey, I don't want to be on a practice squad. And you go from there. But now, I mean, we don't need to get into the Colin Kaepernick conversation or the extension conversation. You know, here's the thing, though. You know, you're at a point now that it's like you can either win some games and get things back where on track, and you know, you have 10 days off, and then kind of go to LA and see what you can do there. Maybe shuffle the deck a little bit from a roster perspective with all these injuries and these players are out. Or you can lose a few more games, and then everything feels like it's off the rails. And who knows what happens from that
point
on.
We're definitely teetering right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, the ledge is within view. Like, you can see it. And you can either drive right off it, or you can swerve and turn the other direction. Because we weren't in a dissimilar situation last year. When they were down 21-0 at the end of the first quarter against the Lions, I was like, oh, no, this thing is over. And then they found a way to kind of steer back, you know, steer back to the road. And the season ended at 9-8, and you kind of felt optimism. And, you know, that's what you can say about Dennis Allen's tenure, is when you've gotten to those situations, typically – they've kind of, you know, they put the snow tires on and they found a way back. You got to do that again.
As we head to break, I want to remind everybody the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. You can mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fan Cruise. Check it out online. We're going to take a break. Be right back with First Take after this here on WWL. Back here on First Take for Thursday Night Madness. We've got the Denver Broncos and Sean Payton in town to take on the Saints, who are looking to snap a four-game losing skid. Rookie quarterbacks going at it, dueling against each other. And the Saints, Spencer Rattler, and Denver's Bo Nix. And actually, Sean Payton talked about it this week, was asked about the pre-draft process. Did he get to talk with Spencer Rattler at all before the Broncos went on the clock?
We spent a lot of time with him. I'd say there was five, you know, pro day, and then we had a private workout. We were all in Phoenix, Scottsdale area, where he's from. Steak dinner, the whole nine yards. Test in the morning, throw. He did really well. It's not surprising to see there's a calmness when he plays, you know, and he too has been through, you know, the adversity early on, you know, coming out of high school to Oklahoma and then transferring. But there is a confidence when he's on the field, and you see that in preseason and last week. It's not too big for him, and he's got a live arm. We were really impressed, and not that it matters, but we had him graded higher, and I'm sure the Saints did as well, and it got to a point where you just had to take the grade, but he was impressive.
Yeah, obviously, I think a lot of people thought that Rattler would end up going higher, but for whatever reason, how the draft shook out, he ends up going very late.
Yeah, they got him in the fifth round, and you know, I don't think Sean's just talking there. I do think they were high on Spencer Rattler. The Saints also took a long look at Bo Nix. They had Bo Nix in. They talked to him. So you know,
that swagger or the aura, or whatever you want to say, that surrounds Spencer Rattler, it seems like he'd be a Sean Payton guy.
Yeah, he would have fit there. But they obviously had a higher grade on Bo,
right?
Because they took Bo at number 12, and you know, I can't remember who made the joke, but they asked Spencer, was like, hey, you and Bo Nix were drafted right next to each other.
I think it was Mike Triplett,
yeah,
right?
Because he was the next quarterback off the board. Now they were about 150 picks apart.
Right, Spencer was probably like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, no, he thought it was funny. But no, that's why it really doesn't make sense. He's talking about, okay, fifth round pick, blah, blah, blah. The Saints are clearly viewing Spencer Rattler as a much higher prospect than a fifth round pick would indicate.
Right.
Right? And so that's why when you talk about him, you don't talk about him like, oh, well, maybe, you know, this isn't like a Brock Purdy situation where they just took a flyer at the end of the draft. Like, they had a high grade on, they went and took him. So we'll see. You know, you kind of went into this season thinking, hey, maybe he gets in there and we can see what we've got long term. And you're getting it this week.
Folks, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donation is at $12,490. Let's boost that digits today in this game against the Broncos. We'll take a break and close out First Take right after this here on WWL.
The minute that man walks in the dome, everybody celebrates him. Hey, Sean, we love you. Thanks for everything that you've done for this organization, blah, blah, blah. And in the minute that that game starts, man, we're trying to kick your ass.
Blah, blah, blah. We are back here on First Take getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff coming up at 5 o'clock. That was Drew Brees talking about the return of Sean Payton to the Caesars Superdome and what to expect from fans. And he thinks, obviously, you give him the round of applause. Thank you for everything you've done. But after that, no holds barred. Ain't going to let loose on Sean throughout the game.
Yeah, it's that vibe is not going to last very long unless the Saints put up some points. I tell you what, like, yeah, if the Broncos get ahead in this game and it starts to get ugly, the crowd might turn a little bit. So I think the Saints would do themselves some good to get out early. But no, it's going to be fascinating, and we're getting closer and closer. Sean's getting, he might be in the building now. It's just, 3 minutes.
Yeah, I have to check
hours.
Twitter for, like, the stroll into the stadium they love to do with folks.
Yeah, so, man, it's going to be fun. I hope it's a lot more fun for the Saints than it is for the Broncos, put it that way.
Definitely. I know Sean won't recognize some things here either after all the remodeling going on.
Well, that, and I was like, has Sean ever even been in the visitor locker room? I'd be surprised if he has. Does he even know where it is? Is someone going to have to lead him there?
Because he'll want to go to the locker room he's accustomed to.
Right. And he won't recognize that one either if he went in there. I don't think he will, but he'd be like, what is this place? But no, it's kind of funny. Like, when the last time Sean was here, this building looked a lot different. But, hopefully he doesn't enjoy it.
And I know he was part of, though, a lot of influence on Club Dub back in the day, and that whole experience in the Saints locker room has been totally elevated. Unfortunately, obviously, we haven't experienced Club Dub of late.
They got it in week one, and they have not had it since. But yeah, it would be nice to turn those fancy lights back on, the strobe lights again today.
I was always amazed, like, even on the road, I'm sure you've seen it too, like, they bring out the lights and the fog machine, and you're like, what's going on?
They got the whole setup. They know what they're doing. This isn't their first rodeo.
Yeah, definitely not the first rodeo, and we know Sean's not his first rodeo here. Definitely expecting the atmosphere to really be quote-unquote electric. Everyone loves to say that, about, the fans and the crowd with the noise and just the energy going on, but I really do feel like the energy is going to be at a pretty high today. You get that that noise meter out on the field for sure.
No question. Everyone's got a towel, so we'll see how they use them.
Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to First Take. Coming up next, the founding father of the Who Dat Nation, Cajun Cannon Bobby Arable, will be joining us on the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Coming up next, I'm Steve Geller. I'll be sticking with you, and Jeff Nowak heading to the sidelines.
Who Dat?
Later, Jeff. There you go. Talk to you soon, folks.